the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. Just hit me up there, and we'll respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Joining us now, always a pleasure to be joined by the next guest. He is represents North Mobile County, but State Representative Shane Stringer is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for making time. We do appreciate it. So we'll start here. I mean, the shootout in Montgomery on Saturday night, and if there was ever another one of these signs that Alabama cities, particularly Montgomery, are kind of spiraling out of control, this was it. Now, I think there were some unforced errors there by Reid's administration, but there's a crime problem, probably a gang problem, that they just cannot figure out a solution to.
Yeah, I think so. First and foremost, man, we want to give our condolences out to the families that lost loved ones and the ones that was injured. You know, such a sad and tragic situation, but, you know, just very unnecessary, and especially in a state like Alabama. You know, you'd think that we would have a better grip on some of the issues like that, but you know, we've created that MAX unit, which is the Metro Area Crime Suppression Unit, that's gone in and helped Montgomery over the last 6-8 months and trying to address some of their problems. But, you know, obviously it's going to take more than that. I know we've done, we've looked at everything and the books, trying to be very creative to try to help them. But it's going to take, looks like it's going to take a little bit more than what we're offering to be able to get things under control.
Yeah, I think so. Now, let's talk about this, the MAX concept here. And what do you know about it? I mean, we hear it a lot, and you know, this is what we're doing. But, like, what exactly is that partnership? What does that entail?
It's not much different than what President Trump is offering with the National Guard across the country. It's basically we're combining resources from different areas of the state, whether it's Leah, the Attorney General's Office, the Montgomery Police Department, the Montgomery Sheriff's Department, and then even some of our federal partners, like with the FBI and ATF, utilizing them to help go in and address some of these problematic areas and try to, get the crime under control to a point where the local law enforcement can manage it on their own. And that's what we're working toward. It's the same principle that Trump's using across the country, is to get the National Guard to go in there, help the local law enforcement get things under control. And once they've got that, then things will run better. So It's a great principle. We use it, to a degree right here in Mobile, the Mobile County Sheriff's Department, the DA's office, and other agencies around have assisted, when we've had some major problems in Pritchard, and going in and addressing problems and getting it under control. And then, of course, we can't stay there forever. Allocating sources, like that has to be temporary because of funding, but in other areas to cover. So we just do what we have to do to try to get things under control so we can allow the authority in that area to, control crime and hopefully keep people safe.
Well, I mean, at what expense does this come to the state? Is it a great expense? I mean, I guess the general fund, this is part of it. And you hear this all the time, and I assume it's still the case that, we're already kind of shorthanded at Aaliyah, particularly with state troopers, but where do the resources come from to supplement these local municipalities?
Yeah, absolutely. We're shorthanded in other areas. So anytime you're doing that, you're taking resources from one area, which has got things under control, and you're able to, take their resources and put them in other areas, and you take a chance on more crime or things happening in that area when you're shorthanded there. So, yeah, it's a balance to be found. You have to, really look at what you're doing here to make sure you don't off balance another area and cause citizens in another area to be punished, per se.
Yeah, I just, because, like, you know, there's places in the state that are doing it right, doing what they're supposed to. And, I mean, I get it, but you can't have a state capital. And that's essentially what's going on here, I think, is how this, the seat of government in Alabama can't operate in a war zone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm as a person that lives up there while I'm in session, I experience it. I mean, it's I live, you know, two blocks from the Capitol during session, and during that time, it's not uncommon to hear rapid fire, gunfire at night, and, you know, when you're out and about. So it's definitely got some issues or whatever. And I think that, you know, I think the leadership in Montgomery need to step it up and figure out something. You know, it shouldn't be just the sole responsibility of the state to come in and save the day and do it. But, you know, Governor Ivey and I'm sure Attorney Steve Marshall, Attorney General Steve Marshall will come in and do everything they can to make sure the people are safe there. It's a lot of good people in Montgomery and they don't deserve this.
So yesterday, Mayor Reed blamed permitless carry, constitutional carry. He said it was the gun laws in this state that contributed to this problem. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, that's total false claims. And it's really sad that once again, you know, we have a Democrat mayor that's got problems in his city and he's blaming it on the constitutional carry bill. That is totally false. You know, the same law applies to every other city in the state of Alabama. And there's only a handful of cities that are having problems, and they're, you know, unfortunately, Democrat-led cities. So it's totally false. I mean, we showed in Mobile right after the constitutional carry bill was passed, crime actually dropped in Mobile. So, you know, that's not unusual and not uncommon for these kind of kicking the can down the road or blame game going on in these type situations. It would actually be refreshing for a mayor or a politician to just, state the obvious and state the facts that we've got a problem and we need to address it and meet it head on instead of trying to play the blame game.
Well, I mean, and you mentioned, you know, other, this is the same law that applies to every city. The thing is, this is what Reed was saying before this, that crime was going down, violent crime was waning, and, you know, they had it under control, and he wasn't, you know, playing the permitless carry, constitutional carry card when that was happening, was he?
No, and every time there's any kind of shooting or incident like this, immediately the left starts blaming the gun and it's a gun problem when actually it's not. It's a criminal problem. It's a thug problem. We need to address the thugs that are out here doing harm to our communities, hurting and killing people. We need to put them in prison and keep them there.
Well, so if you have a gang problem in your city, and then, you know, we don't have big giant cities, maybe Birmingham and Mobile, but Not you know, big urban landscapes typically, but you look at Montgomery. What do you do there? What do you say? How do you get that under control?
It's not as complicated as you would think. I mean, it's I'm a career law enforcement, and I've said it all my career. Criminals are like bad children; they need attention, and if you don't give them the attention, which is get out and make sure they're doing right, stay on top of them, don't let them do wrong, they're going to require your attention, which is by doing these extremely heinous acts. And, you know, so I think if we get out here and harass these thugs and these criminals, the criminal element, as bad as they are harassing the good people, then we can get this under control.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, something changed. Not that the Montgomery was the role model for the entire state when Todd Strange was mayor, but it felt like it had kind of turned a corner. I was talking about this earlier in the program, that it's a much different place than when I was growing up. There were things going on, and it didn't feel unsafe. But, Alan, I'm sure you know people who live there, you know, year-round, not just during session, but, like, you talk to these guys who work in the government, who work as lobbyists, who work in government affairs or politics or whatever, and they get up there, they get a condo downtown, and, you know, they want to live that lifestyle, fine. But then they say, well, I had to move out to East Chase or I had to move to Pike Road or wherever because my car kept getting stolen. And, you know, like, the warning signs have been there for years, and I feel like it's really gotten worse under Reid when he got elected, what, 6 years ago or whatever. But they keep saying crime is down, but I don't see a tangible improvement.
No, I don't either. And the fact that, you know, every time I'm up there, you're hearing gunshots ring out, I mean, and right there close to the Capitol, to the point that I can't even hardly go out and, you know, go jogging without hearing gunshots or worrying about my own safety. So they've got issues. And it, like you said, it does seem to be getting worse. So I appreciate Governor Ivey and Attorney General Steve Marshall for stepping up and everybody that has contributed to the MAC unit trying to help Montgomery, but that's not a long-term solution. They have got to come up with a way to protect themselves and, you know, look out after their own city.
Well, that's just it. Like, even being up there on Wednesdays, Representative, and being in the State House, which you would think is a relatively safe place. So they've stuck me on the third or fourth floor. I can't remember where, but you hear gunfire. That, I mean, it's to me, like, it's like kind of startling. Or at my hotel the night before, you hear gunfire, and you talk to people there, and they're just kind of they're desensitized to it. They're just used to it. And I mean, I don't see how that's acceptable.
No, it's not acceptable. I mean, the fact is, man, when Mayor Reid gets enough of it and gets tired of it, he will find a way for his city to get safer and to support his law enforcement and do stuff to make Montgomery a safer place. That is the fact. I hear him and so many others making excuses to why they can't do their job instead of finding ways they can do their job. You know, we have got to step up, be leaders if we're going to run for these offices and do the tough job. Do what it takes to get our community safe for our citizens and visitors.
Yeah, I mean, it's just having a city that is, it seems like I said, I'm not joking. It sounds like a war zone at times, like you're in Mogadishu with the gunfire just randomly going off at random times of the day. But, like, what and it's kind of a political question, but, like, what's the reluctance there? I mean, is there something from the voters of Montgomery that prefers a more hands-off policing, law enforcement, or whatever that leads to this? Because I don't know what the motivation is there, why, you know, he hasn't found a way, like, yesterday to do this.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it comes down to leadership styles. It comes down to the public safety director, the chief of police that you pick for your communities that are able to get out and relate to the community, able to build relationships with the community. And that's where you get the majority of your feedback and get support from. You know, the acceptance of your community typically shows the success that you're having. And right now, Montgomery does not have a very high acceptable rate from their community. So they're not doing something right. You know, there's ways that you can do this. And, you know, ultimately it just comes down to getting out, policing hard, working hard, and treating people the way you're supposed to. And I wish that they could find that balance, you know, so we're not having to allocate state fund and resources to try to correct their issues or their problems.
Well, I mean, what can the state do? Let's say session starts up tomorrow. And, you know, I assume, and we're going to get him on, Reid Ingram will have something to say, maybe Senator Barfoot, but, like, you look at this and what acts of the legislature are possible here to react to this?
Yeah, really, the only thing I see is funding. I mean, we can't pass enough laws to address an evil-hearted person. So the only other thing is to throw money at it and look at our budgets and see where we can allocate more money for law enforcement resources for this area to get things under control. I mean, it's just like the governor allowing the state troopers that patrol the Capitol in that area to expand their area up there in Montgomery. We just have to put more money. That's really the only thing the legislature can do, in my opinion, is we've got stiff penalties in. We need to hold the judges accountable that are not being firm with these people that are out harassing, hurting, and killing people. And putting money toward resources to get things under control is the next step.
Well, I expect maybe some more penalties. I know Representative Simpson has a bill coming out of the Sanger Theater shooting and probably some other things, but you're right. I mean, what's left? Hey, Representative, we got to get out of here. We're out of time, but I always appreciate you coming on.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all for having me.
All right. That's State Representative Shane Stringer there, our usually Monday regular. We're doing a makeup appearance on Tuesday. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Bohr Show at FM Talk 106.5.